Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flato. A little bit later in the hour, we'll talk about using microbes to clean up hazardous waste. But first, have you been trying to get your flu shots this season? It's really getting very, very difficult to do. In fact, the number of states with widespread flu activity has jumped to 24, and just about all the states have some kind of flu activity, but the number of states with widespread flu activity is about 24. And if you've tried to get a flu shot, you may know that the flu supply, the vaccine, has dwindled. And in some part of the country, some parts, people are being turned away because the vaccine has run out. Or in some places, doctors are holding off giving some aged people. I think I saw a report that people 50 and over are not getting the vaccine, so it's being held for people like 65 and over. And yesterday, Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson said his agency had purchased the last 100,000 doses of vaccine from one of the companies that make it. And an additional 150,000 doses for children will be available next month, he said. Now, why is there a shortage? Who's to blame? Some experts are saying that this year's vaccine will be less effective than previous years. So even if you have been vaccinated, that's no guarantee that you will stay healthy. Why is that? Well, we're going to try to answer some of those questions. Our number, 1-800-989-8255, if you'd like to chip in with a few of your own, let me introduce my guest. Dr. Ted Eichhoff is professor of medicine in the Division of Infectious Diseases, University of Colorado Health Science Center in Denver. He joins us by phone. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Eichhoff.
Yeah, thank you, Ira. I'm unfortunately on a cell phone, and I will last as long as I can.
That's 2 weeks in a row for us, so you thanks. We'll do the best we can. You were a member of the FDA Advisory Committee that chose this year's vaccine, and it's essentially the same vaccine as last year. Why is that?
Yes, I am a member, and it is the same vaccine as last year, and it's a very unusual event. Let me put together the scenario that we had in front of us last February and March when we decided this issue. The strain in question was the influenza A, the H3N2 kind, the kind that causes a lot of morbidity and mortality among the elderly, a lot of complications. So it's a strain we worry a lot about. And we have not had it for about 4 years running. So we thought up front this would probably be a H3N2 year. The choice we had was to retain A Panama, which was last year's vaccine strain, retain it in the vaccine because it's a good vaccine-producing strain, or switch to a new strain, specifically the so-called A Fujian variant, which we thought probably would emerge to become the dominant strain. The problem was there was no good vaccine producer available among the Fujian, among the Fujian strains. So a choice was either wait and hope to find a good A Fujian strain for vaccine production and risk another major delay in vaccine production, or go with the A Panama strain, which we knew was a good vaccine producer but would be somewhat less effective against the A Fujian variant. So that's the choice. It was a Hobson's choice, mm-hmm. a choice among two not very attractive alternatives. Why? Nobody was comfortable with it.
Why do you have to make that choice?
Simply because the lead time for vaccine production is at least 6 months and preferably 7 months, mm-hmm. based on the technology that we're using, namely growing it in eggs.
Mm-hmm. And why do we have this scramble for the vaccine now? How many doses were made this year compared, let's say, to last year?
This year there were 83 million doses made. Last year there were significantly fewer doses because one of the major vaccine producers dropped out. Wyeth Laboratories dropped out to concentrate their efforts on the live vaccine, FluMist. And so it's significantly more than last year, but less than what could have been achieved. And I think the most they've ever produced is about 95 million doses.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The reason for that is simply because any unused supplies left over with the manufacturer at the end of the year are simply wasted. So the manufacturer doesn't recoup the any money at all for those doses that it has to discard. So they try and estimate the demand, and this year the demand went way up, I think unexpectedly so, because of the fact that children are being hit hard, and news of these children deaths has brought a lot of children in for immunization that wouldn't ordinarily show up.
Now, that's unusual, I mean, to my remembrance of the vaccine. You don't normally hear or even expect children to be vaccinated because we don't think of them as being at a risk. Why are they being so hard hit, or is it just a perception that they are, and that's not the truth?
No, I think they are being hard hit, partly because we think maybe because we haven't seen a strain like this for 4 years or more, and so immunity has waned, and there's a whole group of young kids who've never seen, immunologically speaking, who've never had experience with strains like this before. So it's a much more susceptible population than we anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Did the manufacturers actually throw out their extra vaccine last year?
Probably, yes.
So then that would explain why, hey, we're not going to make that much this year and throw it away again.
I think there's some of that thinking in it. It's legitimate to raise the question of whether government should play a role in this or not. They have not heretofore.
Well, let's raise that question. Should they? I mean, should somebody be in charge of, you know, making sure there's an adequate supply for everybody?
Well, again, even if government had been in the picture, I think the target of 84 million doses probably would have satisfied everybody because nobody saw this hard effect or the very significant effect on children coming. That's been unusual. Government played a role only once, and that was in the swine vaccine program in 1976.
It was President Ford was, I think, was during that era. Yeah, go ahead.
I think one question is, should government try to estimate the total number of doses it wants the manufacturers to make and put some kind of a guarantee in it so that there will be some reimbursement for the manufacturers for unused vaccine? This takes tax money, of course. And there's, I think, a reluctance on the part of many in government to try and go down that road.
So that we would guarantee that there would be enough. Make more, we'll buy it, we'll guarantee it, and, you know.
Yeah. That seems logical
to me, and certainly now with people, you know, what is the price, what is your life worth, you know?
Yeah, I know, I agree. And I think there'll be some serious rethinking of that proposition once we get through this year's outbreak.
Mm-hmm. So what's a person to do who wants to get the vaccine now and goes to the doctor and says, you know, I've run out, or you can't have it because I'm rationing it?
Well, CDC has come up with this a new set of guidelines to focus on kids under two, particularly high-risk kids, and the high-risk elderly and people with chronic disease, which are the principal targets. The practitioners aren't themselves rationing vaccine, or at least they should not be. I would hope they would just use it until it runs out. Some additional supplies, I'm told, are forthcoming from CDC in the weeks ahead, mm-hmm. based on what the manufacturers have left on hand. There's a possibility that there may be vaccine imported from Canada and some available in Europe, mm-hmm. Which we could certainly use if necessary. Beyond that, there will still be a demand, probably, and then we have to fall back on preventive measures like the amantadine prophylaxis or some of the other influenza prophylactic drugs now available, and practice good respiratory hygiene, meaning don't sneeze or cough into an open environment where it's crowded with people. Cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. Keep your hands clean, wash them frequently, and the like.
Mm-hmm. So what do we do, Doctor, what do we do this year or in preparation the year's over for our next flu season to make sure this doesn't happen again?
Well, yeah, when you say this doesn't happen again, do you mean vaccine shortages?
Yes,
or,
the shortage.
Probably overestimate the amount of vaccine that will be needed by some 5 or 10%, and accept the fact that we will probably have some unused vaccine that will need to be discarded at the end of the season.
And what do we do about choosing our strain that we're going to be making, you know, into a
vaccine?
Well,
the strain choice proposition is always difficult. It's always a bit of a guessing game. There's some crystal ball gazing that necessarily has to go on, because clearly one cannot with great confidence predict exactly what's going to happen. But yet the amount of surveillance information on which to base an educated guess is really quite good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our track record for that committee in terms of matching the vaccine strain with what actually happened is really pretty good, about 75% or so, mm-hmm. which is much better than it used to be.
When the season is all over and the numbers come in, will this look like an atypical flu season, or will it look pretty typical but just hit us a little harder? I mean, we see the numbers that 36,000 people die every year from the flu. Are we going to see a lot more than that this season, do you think? Or
I think probably there's a good chance we might. We haven't seen much disease in the elderly yet. We haven't seen excess mortality on a national basis, and I'm fearful that it's going to still occur. Perhaps not till after the holidays, in January or March, or February or March, when we typically see the most excess mortality from influenza.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just going to add that I'm fearful that it's going to happen this year or in 2004 again.
Yeah, because it feels like we've been through the whole season and we're just at the beginning of it.
I know it. That was a little scary.
Yeah, given, you know, the intense coverage of people and seeing the lines on TV every day, we're just at the beginning.
I'm afraid you're probably right.
And so if you can't, you know, if you can't get the vaccine, I guess, as you say, the next best thing is to practice good personal hygiene and whatever you can do.
And consider, for high-risk patients, there are some prophylactic drugs that are available. They're not without a little bit of, there are some adverse events that can occur, so I wouldn't use them terribly widely. I wouldn't use them in otherwise normal people, for example.
Mm. Did you get your flu shot?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Did you?
I got mine at an airport waiting between flights. It was in Chicago, at O'Hare, a few weeks ago.
Very good use of travel time.
It was great. You know, I said, you pointed, you know, and I think it was $20. It was great. I got to thank everybody at O'Hare for that. Thank you very much, Doctor.
Thank you, Aaron.
Dr. Ted Eichhoff is a professor of medicine in the Division of Infectious Diseases at the University of Colorado Health Science Center in Denver.